Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 19 through 21st, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Afternoon Fellowship.
Let's welcome the Lord in this afternoon.
Amen.
Just by a show of hands, who has been to a college conference like this before? Okay. Now, I think many of you are familiar that in the past few years, we've used this afternoon time to update one another with what the Lord has been doing on our college campuses. Have you all been encouraged by those reports?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to do something a little different this afternoon. If you believe this in your heart, that the Lord is advancing on your college campus, at the same time, right now, let's just declare it together. This will be our report. This will be our report to the enemy. Let's just say this. The Lord is advancing at, and fill in your campus, all right? Let's try that.
The Lord is advancing at UCLA!
One more time.
The Lord is advancing at UCLA!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay. Yes. Okay, but this afternoon, we have a special treat in store. We have asked a handful among us to come up and share. And this will be in line with the subject matter of this conference. They're going to share their own personal testimonies. Mm-hmm. You know, you might ask, a testimony of what? A testimony of receiving and seeing the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
Of finding the meaning of human life.
Awesome.
Even tonight we're going to see of finding the church as the expression of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but personally I feel like a testimony can do what no message can do. A testimony can stir up a certain appreciation mm-hmm. within us. And I really feel like if we're one with the Lord, and if we're one with these brothers and sisters that are going to testify, the Lord can really encourage us a lot.
Amen.
I'd say, firstly, these ones are not anything special. You know, we didn't send out a checklist, and we found out the strongest among us. We found out the best among us, the most qualified to share. You're not going to find an emblazoned Superman S on their T-shirts. Just an S in their spirit.
Amen.
The Lord has saved these ones. He's had mercy on these ones. So firstly, I really think that in their sharing, you, personally, they're just testifying like we could testify. I believe many of us can testify in the same way.
Amen.
So firstly, I think we're going to be filled with a thanksgiving to the Lord. Just within us, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me even in a high way.
Amen.
But secondly, and I just want to end with this point. Secondly, I feel that they will also testify to the seeking that exists in all mankind.
Amen.
You know, they're from varied backgrounds. You're going to hear some grew up unbelieving, some grew up a Buddhist. You know, a varied assortment of people. And together, they're representing mankind, all right?
Amen.
They represent the ones that are sitting next to you in lecture. They represent the friends, I believe, that are on your heart. So just the second point, maybe even, Sean is going to share a little at the end, but maybe a name rises up within you. You know, as Jordan is sharing, he grew up a Buddhist, maybe another name just rises up in a prayer within you. Lord, you saved Jordan. Why not save Chris? Why not save my friend Matthew, all right?
Amen.
So just be one with the Lord in this respect.
Amen. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
What a mercy to be here today. My name is Jesse Maladwandak. Hey, man, you can laugh. Maladwandak. I was born and raised in New Britain, Connecticut. And I am a vessel to contain God.
Amen.
I grew up Buddhist also. And I just remember being very young and going through the rituals with my grandma and my grandpa. And bowing down, doing everything. And just looking at this golden statue that's collecting dust on the shelf. And just like, did this golden statue create the entire universe? And just a ringing shout within my being, like, no way. No way. So at that point, I started to develop a prayer life. I had this seeking for God, but I didn't know who God was. And I know it wasn't Buddha, for sure. It was just a statue up there. So I just started praying. But even that was a difficult thing for me, because I was like, okay, I know Buddhists, they pray like this. They put their hands like this. And Christians, I see them pray, and they put their hands like this. So, and you're a kid, and you don't want to be wrong. So I'm like, then I'll put my hands like this. Right? I'll go in between, cover all the bases, right? And as I was there, I'm like, okay, I got this down. Who am I going to pray to? I had no idea. Just from what people, you know, would tell me. So I was like, okay, I'll just start general. I'm like, okay, dear God. And then I'm like, well, I got to know who it is. So I just started praying, dear God, dear Jesus, dear Buddha, dear Father, dear Son, dear Spirit, dear Virgin Mary. I didn't know what was what. I just wanted to cover all the bases just so they know. Yeah, that I'm trying to pray and I'm trying to worship them, you know. So that started. And eventually, when I was about 12, hallelujah, I received the Lord.
Amen.
And He became my content. And He is a living person inside of me. But at that point, I didn't know. I thought I was just saved to go to heaven, you know? So I remember it was me and my best friend. I was like, oh man, oh sweet. You know, we're saved. Hallelujah. You know, we got baptized on the same day. We got saved and baptized that day. And I was like, oh, awesome. We're going to heaven. I was like, so what do we do in heaven, man? And he's like, whatever you want. I was like, oh, sweet. Yeah. I'm like, awesome. So I'm just, you know, you're 12, so I'm thinking heaven's like a heavenly Six Flags, you know what I mean? Like just a bunch of roller coasters everywhere and just a beach over here. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool, man. So that's it. I was saved. I was saved to go to heaven. But something still stirred within my being. Like, is this it? I'm saved. Right now, I'm living to just die, to just wait, to go somewhere to this heavenly Six Flags, you know? So I was like, there has to be something more. And fast forward to high school, I eventually got a car. My junior year in high school, started driving to this Baptist denomination. And going, sitting there, listening to it, you know, being encouraged. I don't remember anything. Being encouraged. And I would steadily go maybe once a month for a year. And I would just sit in the back and listen. And after each message, the pastor would always do something that you guys might know, an altar call. He'll always call, like, okay. At the end of his message, he'd always say, okay, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, and if you want to receive Him now, you can come up to the front. After a year of going, I'm like, I'm looking around, I'm like, bro, we've been here for a year. Everybody here is a believer. If we weren't believers, why would we come to church? You know, isn't there something more to the Christian life than just this altar call? Isn't there something more? So after that day, I'm like, ah, I'm done. You know? So I see at that point that religion couldn't satisfy me. Just kept on, I still had this thirst. Buddhism, even Christianity, I was still unsatisfied. I still had this thirst within my being. So in high school, I wasn't a fan of academics at all. So I decided to join the military. So I joined the army. You know, this matter, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be all that I could be. Right? You know? So, yeah, exactly. They changed it to an army of one afterwards. So I joined, and this was prior to 9/11. So I wasn't joining for the war. I was joining for the college money because I knew I wanted to go to school eventually. But I joined because I wanted to be the best trained person in the world. I wanted to be the baddest dude around. Baddest in a good way, you know what I mean? I had one problem. I smiled too much. That's really hard. It's really hard for people to be intimidated by you when you're smiling all the time. So I joined the military and I signed up. I went to the recruiter's office and I told him, I want the hardest thing you have possible. Give it to me. And he said, okay, I'll give you a Ranger contract. So I went through all the training, airborne school, I jumped out of planes, I went through the ranger school, sleep deprivation, 15 minutes of sleep a night, one meal a day for 15 weeks. You go through that and you have to march 8 to 9 miles a day with 80 pounds on your back. I did it all. It means nothing. I got the badge, I got the ranger tab, wow. I was in a ranger battalion, so that was my life. That's who I was. I was an army ranger. I was part of the most elite group in this world. You could ship me anywhere and we could take people out. You know? Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I'm a part of it now. But when I finished everything, it's like, this is it. You know? This is it. This is all I got. Eventually I went to, being an army ranger, you fight. You go to war, and it was just happened during wartime. I'm like, oh no. I just wanted to go to school. I remember being on the airplane, jumping into Iraq, and my best friend was right across the plane from me. We're kind of waiting to jump, you know, and we look at each other at the same time. And I could tell, I know what was in his being. We both looked at each other, and we just shook our heads like, we should have just went to college, bro. So, but I did all the war hero stuff, you know. I had a combat jump. Did all that, but that's just, in the end, it's just, I tried to make a name for myself, I just found myself empty. It's nothing. Was I born to just be a patriot? Was I just born to die for my country? So I prayed in this one time in Iraq. Basically, my squad leader told me that just be prepared to die for this next mission. So I just prayed, I'm like, Lord, I want to go home. I want to see my family again. I want to see my friends again. Just get me home alive. Just get me home alive. If you do, then I'll serve you. And my vision of service at the time was, Lord, if you do, I'll go to church. Right? If you do, yeah, I'll give you 10% of my money, you know? So, hallelujah, he used that prayer, and he got me home alive. And then I got out of the military, just looking at, I went to school. I went to school at Central Connecticut State. And the first year in school, I just lived the average college student life. Average college student life is not good at all. And I just found myself in the same thing, you know. Whatever's fun according to the worldly point of view, it's just a headache. You just go home, you think it's fun, but then first you're broke, and then you just wake up, yeah, it's horrible. So you just feel empty and depressed afterwards. So my second year, I met a group of Christians on the campus. And that's exactly what I was looking for. I wanted to find Christians on a campus. And I walked into the club fair, and that's what I found. Christian students at Central. Hallelujah. And then I just started going to these Bible studies that they were having on the campus and at the home nearby. And I'm like, whoa, there's a purpose to the Christian life. God has a purpose. The Bible has a purpose. I just saw that. This is amazing, you know? But at the same time, I still, you know, 20-something years of growing up with your own way of thinking, it was a struggle, you know? But I had this deep sense of peace and joy within my being.
Amen.
And hallelujah. I drank Jesus. It was awesome. So, you know, eventually, when I was in school, you know, like all of us, we want the best grades possible. And we think that could satisfy us, right? The degree and the grades. So, you know, you get all the awards, the scholarships, and all that stuff. And, you know, what is that? Summa cum laude? Is that how you pronounce it? You get that, and then it's just like, okay, this is nothing. This is on a piece of paper. It's good to be burned. It's nothing. You're just empty again. So it's like, what is it? You know, and I found it within the church, and all I saw was Christ in the saints. So this is it. You know, these people are crazy. They're crazy for Jesus, right? And I just saw, like, you know, some people, they go crazy. I'm a Cowboys fan. I might offend some people by saying that. In a football game, they go crazy. They stand on the bleacher and they start shouting and going crazy. I'm like, man, these people, they're crazy about Jesus. They're standing on their chairs and they're going crazy. I'm like, yeah, this is good, you know? So, Eventually, I've been hearing about this Bible school in Anaheim. I call it the happiest place on earth. It's not Disneyland, but it's something called the full-time training in Anaheim. It's marvelous. So I've been hearing about that eventually, but I wanted to get a job. I wanted to make some money. I wanted to buy a car. I wanted to buy a house, things like that. But my last semester student teaching, I was cleaning up, picking up soccer balls after the kids. Just like, is this it? Is this it? I worked so hard. And I have to do this for 35 more years before I can enjoy my life. No way. I'm called for a higher purpose. That's it. I'm not doing this. So I decided I'm going to that Bible school that they've been telling me about, you know? So I decided to come and I gave the Lord one semester in this school. And I'm getting ready to graduate in a couple of weeks. Hallelujah. The more and more I spent time in the school, the more I drank Jesus, and the more that I see that I am good for nothing but Christ in the church.
Amen.
And that Christ is the only one that satisfies that deep longing within my being.
Amen.
So I'm so thankful that I could be here today and be able to share my testimony with you all.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is the meaning of my human life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. My name is Jordan Nguyen. I am currently attending Moorpark College. And I have been saved for about 26 months. And I remember coming to Big Bear my first time 2 years ago in this exact spot. I sat right here or something like that. And I remember coming here and seeing all these students getting together and loving the Lord. And I thought it was crazy. It was about, I think, like a month and a half after I got saved, something like that. So I was like sitting down here wondering, like, why am I, like, I was like, This is so different. Like I didn't grow up in a church life. I grew up Buddhist, and I'm this former Buddhist is sitting third row listening to these brothers share messages about the Lord. And I remember this. I remember the title of that conference was A Wonderful and Dynamic Salvation. And I remember that's what I received after I received the Lord. 26 months ago, that's what I got. From the first moment I opened to the Lord, I received this wonderful and dynamic salvation.
Amen.
So, a little bit about me. I grew up in a very strict Buddhist household. You know, both my parents from Vietnam, they came here to America and they had all these traditions and customs. And, you know, the most important things that mattered to my parents were education, rules, and taking care of the siblings. That was the view that I was taught up and I grew up upon. And, you know, I guess you could say they're not the worst things, right? But as a teen, you know, as growing up, I hate rules. I think a lot of kids hate rules. I hate following rules and customs. I didn't find it fun, you know? So I'm going about my like teen years, right? I'm 13 and I just graduated middle school. And that's when I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm not going to temple with you anymore. I don't want to pray to Buddha anymore. I didn't like it. I hated praying, in all honesty. I hated it, you know, having your hands like this, getting on your knees and praying for earthly things, for things that are going to, just things that I didn't really care for. I was 13. I wanted to go to the movies, hang out with my friends, just skateboard and go play sports or whatever. But my mom and dad they didn't really like when I kind of rebelled against them, but they couldn't really do anything about it. So, you know, I'm going, then fast forward, I'm in my high school years now. I'm like 15 now, and, you know, I'm meeting all these, my friends and everything, and I'm going about my life, and a lot of my old friends in high school referred to me as, like, the free spirit Jordan, right? Like, the one that would just, you know, like to have fun. Wouldn't really do anything crazy, but would just like to have a good time and just go out, and that's it. Just have a good time, and, you know, and I was very shy, I guess you could say. People would, you know, I was shy, but once you get to know me, I was very loud. I would never be quiet. I was never silent. But so, and then now I'm 17. I'm starting my senior year of high school, my last year of high school. I'm like really happy. One more year and then I'm going to college, right? But then 17 comes and you're like, oh, and then I got my first car and then I was like, oh, now I need to get a job. So I was like, I was dreading getting a job. I was like, I don't want to work. I want my dad and my mom to pay for everything, you know, but they wouldn't have it. So I got my first job at a sporting goods store. It's called Chick's Sporting Goods. And It was a cool job, you know, working with retail, working with all the cool clothes back in the day. Like, you know, I mean, cool clothes back a couple years ago, like the Volcom clothes, the Billabong, and all that cool skater brands, right? But, you know, working there I worked there for 3 years, but the first year I just worked there for fun. It was a great job, made good money, you know, made a ton of new friends. And there was this one person that stood out to me as when I met him there, and his name was Dave Buchanan. And he always stood out to me because he was different. There was something different about him. I couldn't pinpoint it. I didn't know what it was about. He was just so friendly to me. And I just remember him always, every time we worked together, he would always just ask me, Jordan, how was your day? What are you doing after you get off work? It's like a Friday night, and like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't even know you, and you're super nice to me. Oh, that's cool. So, you know, I was drawn to nice people. I remember senior year of high school. You know, remember senior polls? I want friendliest. So I guess I was drawn to other friendly people, I guess. And so I got to know Dave. You know, we hung out maybe once every like 3 months or something like that. But I would always see him at work all the time. And fast forward now, end of 2007, 2008 starts, and same thing, same Jordan talking to Dave whenever I see him. And, you know, then I realized Dave and I are going to the same school now. We're going to Pierce College now, and then I called Dave one day. I got his number, called him and said, Dave, I need to take a class. I need to find a class to fill this hour and a half gap. So he asked me if I want to take a class with him. So I decided to take this class with him, and, you know, a month goes by, and we have our first test coming up, and I'm like, okay, cool, test. Dave offers, he says, hey, Jordan, you want to come over for dinner and we can study? I'm like, oh, yeah, sounds good. I'll head over after I got off work. And that day was September 27th, 2008. I remember this day so vividly. And it was just getting off work, driving to Dave's house, met his parents for the first time. They're really nice people. They're really sincere, you know, starting a conversation with me, asking me, what do I want to do when I grow up? What are my goals and my dreams for after college or during college years? And so I told him, it was a nice conversation with just normal people. And, you know, his mom's dinner's ready. And I guess I knew Dave was a Christian. I knew that, but I would never go out of my way to ask him about God, I guess, you know, but I was always the one. When I grew up, I kind of never really thought about God. I didn't really care for God, but I remember at dinner, they started praying, you know, and being a former Buddhist, you know, you're taught respect. So I sat quietly and showed my respect. And each of them, his mom, his dad, his sister, and himself, they prayed. But what stuck out the most was that they prayed for me. And I didn't understand that. I was like, I don't even know these people, but they prayed for me. Like, thank you, Lord, you brought Jordan here. Thank you, he's in our house. I was like, I don't get this. Like, why? I don't know you. Why are you praying for me? I don't know. So we finished dinner, and Dave and I go into his room, and we start studying for our test the next day. And a couple hours go by, and we finish studying. And, you know, he turns on the TV. We're just talking a little bit. And then he turns it off, and we're just talking. And I don't know, something just kind of like clicked in me. It's something, I don't know, I was always one that I would like to learn new things. I was always like, I guess you could say, want to find new things. And I asked Dave, I said, Dave, you know, what is the Bible all about? And his reaction was priceless. His reaction was, he's like, what? Really? Are you sure? I was like, yeah, Dave, what is the Bible about? And he scratched his head, and he was like, okay, and then he told me a little bit about what the Lord and everything, and I was so astounded. I was like, whoa, that's really cool. And I remember we read this pamphlet. It was like 20 pages long. It was called God's Full Redemption and Salvation. And we're reading this, and it's about 5 to 6 pages in. You know, it's a lot, I guess you could say. And Dave, he was like, bro, we can stop right now. Do you want to stop? And I was like, no, let's just go read this more. This is so good. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know what he did. I want to know all his works. And so all of a sudden an hour later passes and we finished the whole thing. And I was like, whoa, this is so good. I felt so good. I had like, you could say divine goosebumps, you could say. You know, I had goosebumps. And I remember just with Dave praying and calling on the name of the Lord for the first time in my life. I didn't know how to pray, I guess you could say. I kind of just copied what he did, but I felt so good. I felt like something came inside of me. But I didn't know. I couldn't explain it at the time. I didn't know, you know. But, you know, I felt great. And I was there. I feel like I was there at his house for like 7 hours. I don't know. I got home like after midnight, you know. And the next day goes, take my test. And while I'm taking my test, all I'm thinking about is what happened to me the day before. What happened to Jordan? What did I just receive? And I failed that test too. That was like, because I couldn't remember anything we said. That was the worst grade I've ever gotten a test in my entire life. But I still passed that class, which is a good thing. But so I'm going about my day, and I remember Dave asked me, you know, he's like, do you want to go with me somewhere on Thursday night to Chili's restaurant and meet a couple other brothers? And I said, I was kind of hesitant at first. So maybe, I don't know. And then I just said yes. I was like, okay, I'll go. And so I remember Dave and I were working on a Thursday night. We get off and we're heading over to Chili's. And I'm kind of shy when it comes to meeting new people. And I would just in the car ride, I was just like, Dave, I want to go home now. I was like, take me home. I don't want to go. These people there are going to be like, who's this kid here? He doesn't know anything about the God. He doesn't know anything. But I went. He said it was too late. And so he said we were already here. And I was like, okay, fine. So I went in and I met Ken Walker, I met Phil Jacobson, I met Josh Herman, I met all these other brothers, and I remember just getting into the Word with them and reading the Bible for the first time, like, you know, actually reading and, like, you know, learning about what the Lord has done. But what really stood out to me was that I was on one hand learning it, but I also was able to experience it, though. I was able to experience the Lord as life. Amen. And then so the coming weeks, I go to my first home meeting. I remember the first home meeting I went to. I first went there and they were really loud and I was like, why are these people so loud? But I realized that they were just crazy lovers of the Lord. And I remember just walking away from that meeting that, wow, all these people love God. And I realized that, wow, I love God too then. I love the Lord. And then, oh man, just going about these past 26 months have been so great. I've realized that God, He's almighty. He's perfect and everything. But this God, He wanted to come inside of me. He had a purpose for me, and that purpose was me just to contain Him. Amen. I'm a vessel to contain the Lord. Amen. I really just appreciate that. Just every day now, I'm realizing that I can turn to the Lord. I can feast, I can drink, and I can breathe in the Lord. Amen. Not once a week, because I thought that's what you guys do in church, once a week. But this is every day. Amen. And I remember this one song that we always sing back at the CSUN home meetings. It's a line in the sand that says, every day we need the fellowship to take us through. And I appreciate that. We do. We need it. We need to take the Lord in every day. The Lord is our food, right? In the same sense, I can't eat once a week because I will die. In the same sense, I don't want to spiritually die, so I need to feast on the Lord. Amen. So these past 26 months have been crazy, but just full of joy. Amen. And I can testify that I have never been I've never been happier. I realize that these last 26 months, I'm stuck with work or school or just problems of the world, but there's always God there to comfort me. God is within me. He was once far off, but now He's near. And He's living inside of me. He gave me this spirit, so this organ, so now I can contact Him. So I'm just so thankful that I have this God, and a kid that grew up not knowing God, who now knows God. I'm so happy that this Lord is living, He's operative, and He's working in me today.
Amen.
Amen. Well, my name is Andrea Cohen, and I was born in Texas, raised in Oklahoma, but I didn't grow up in a Christian family. There was kind of this unspoken understanding that you don't talk about God, you don't talk about the Bible, and even kind of this idea that maybe just being a Christian is just about being a good person. You don't actually need to receive the Lord's life into you. So I thought, okay, I'm just here to be a good person, very moral, you know, that kind of thing. But I actually heard the gospel when I was 13. I went to a Sunday service with one of my friends, and they had an altar call there. So this message was about how the Lord died on the cross for us. We need to receive Him as our Savior. And there was this call for anyone who wanted to receive the Lord to come down and pray. So I had this desire. I want to go down and pray, you know. Then my friend turns to me, and they're like, hey, Andrea, you're a sinner. You should go down there. I was like, immediately I'm like, I'm a really good person, you know? And so then, okay, but I was like, I still want to go up and pray. So I was like, will you go up there with me? And they were like, oh, no, 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 that's not for me. I've already done that. And so I was like, whatever. I ended up leaving unsaved and somewhat hurt and a little offended. But anyway, so then a couple years later, I go on this trip to New York City and my choir sang at Carnegie Hall. But we, coming back late to the hotel one night, the Lord sovereignly put me in this situation where I was desperate for my life. I didn't know what would happen. What if my life ended that night? And so I cried out to God. I said, God, if you're real, then you must save me. And after that situation, which I was saved from outwardly, but not yet inwardly saved fully, I just had this sense, I don't know what happened, but I feel like I'm different. I just know that I want to know God. So a couple months later, I turned 16, and I decided, I want to read the Bible. What's the Bible all about, you know? So I didn't know, I wasn't familiar with the Bible, so I just remembered one time hearing this verse from Isaiah 40, the verse about like those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength, mount up on eagle's wings. I didn't know where it was, so I thought, I'll just read the whole book of Isaiah, and maybe I'll find the verse. So I read the whole book. I didn't know it was 66 chapters. But after that, I was just like, this is wonderful. I just want to keep reading. So I eventually, like, I guess my last 2 years in high school, I had ended up reading through the whole entire Bible. But actually, after that, I realized I have no idea what the Bible is about. So and during that time, I visited all these different denominations, and I went to this women's Bible study, and I took avid notes, you know, like, how do I understand the Bible? And all these places I went to, even some of them I performed at because I was a singer and stuff, and I just was like, I'm not in. I don't get it. Like, I just don't see what these other Christians see. I don't understand the Bible, basically. I just had this question, like, who can open up the Bible? You know, like, who can explain the Word? So, okay. Then this was kind of close to my college decision, time to decide where I was going to go to college. And I knew I wanted to go to the University of Oklahoma because it had one of the top five programs for musical theater. I wanted to be, ever since I was young, I had this desire to be a professional performer on Broadway. So I decided to go to the University of Oklahoma. But one of the verses when I was reading through the Bible that touched me was Matthew 7, 13 through 14. And just briefly, just kind of paraphrasing it, it says, you know, enter through the, those who enter through the broad way leads to destruction, but enter in through the narrow way, but enter in through the gate, which is the narrow way, and the constricted gate leads to life. Anyways, praise the Lord, the way that leads to life. So, going to college, I also had this question, who is taking the narrow way of all these Christians, all these denominations I've visited, who's taking the narrow way, you know? So, first week of school, there's like this big club affair with all these tables out, you know, and I'm looking for a Christian club to sign up at. And I see this table that says Christians on Campus. I thought, that's great. It's simple. It's straightforward, non-denominational, no nonsense. And I look up and there's this older brother sitting at the table and he's just beaming. What I didn't realize was that he was like exuding Christ. I just was like, I have to go up to this table and sign up. And that was the treasure of reality in that brother shining out through him. So signed up at the table and had a couple of one-on-one times with him. And it was in those one-on-one times that I actually received the Lord Jesus, called on the Lord's name and received him as my Savior. It was wonderful. So then I'm talking to this classmate of mine who's in the same program, musical theater. And I'm like asking her what she did last weekend. And then we discover that we're in the same Christian club. She's like, oh, yeah, I went to this college conference. And I was like, what? That's great. And so we decide to go to things together. And we found out that a group of sisters in that club, they have a time in the morning. A few of them live together. And they have this time in the morning where they sing, they enjoy the Lord, they get into the Word. And it was a little early, like around 7:30. But we were both kind of busy with our major. And so we were like, well, we'll try going. So we go. And through the singing, we enjoy the Lord in our spirit. We never knew that we had a human spirit. It was wonderful. We were just singing and praising the Lord, even though it was 7:30 in the morning. So we were full of joy. We'd go to class still fellowshipping about our spirit, still calling on the Lord together. Even like we would preach the gospel to some of our theater friends. Some of them got saved. One was even saved and baptized. A few of them even found their human spirit as well. It was wonderful. So anyway, we decided, okay, later on in college, we decide, I want to move in with these crazy lovers of Jesus. They enjoy the Lord all the time. So I move in with these sisters, and I begin to realize kind of a difference, because I lived in the sorority house with 100 girls, and I thought I knew kind of what like a corporate life was, like what a corporate or communal life was, you know, like in a big sense like that. But I move in with these sisters to pursue the Lord in the body, and I realized this is the real sisterhood. This is the real corporate life. This is the real communal life, you know, where all of our needs are met, and we recognize not only am I, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm a member of the body of Christ, and I can pursue Christ with the other members. It's so refreshing. So eventually, as I began to touch the Lord as reality in my spirit, I'm also kind of losing a taste for my career. And the Lord begins to touch me more and more. So I had worked a little bit professionally in college, and there was this one performance in particular where I was on stage performing, but I was also trying to touch the Lord in my spirit, calling on the Lord. But the Lord touched me. You're conveniently in front of 2,000 people. Why don't you speak the gospel to them? They know nothing of God's economy. Actually, you're distracting them from me because they paid to see you perform. And I was so convicted. I felt like, wow, none of these people know that God is their real enjoyment. God is their real entertainment. Like, what are they doing here? What am I doing here? So I just was like, wow, I can't pursue this career, period. I can't go any further. But the Lord remind me, you've been giving your life to your career. You've been somewhat serving your career. Why don't you serve me? And I had known some of these believers who had gone to this Bible college in California. So I began to consider, what if I just went to this Bible college after I graduated, you know? And so I began to ask the Lord and consider. And then there came a point also when I was performing where this casting director from New York came and watched me perform, and she invited me to come and audition for this new upcoming Broadway show. And seemingly I thought it was something that I'd always wanted, you know, like hadn't I always worked for this, like given my life to it and worked so hard, but there was not a fiber in my being that wanted anything to do with that, you know? And so I said to her, actually, my desire is to give my life to the Lord for His purpose. And so it was at that moment that I decided, I'm going to this Bible college. I'm just going to go ahead and go, you know? But it wasn't the question of, like, go to the Bible college or not. It's, what is God doing on this earth? Not only was my career vanity of vanities, but God's not even doing that, you know? I want to be in what He's doing on this earth. And He's building His church. That is worth giving our lives to. Amen. So anyway, sovereignly, the Lord arranged that even my marriage would be for Christ in the church. Even someone that I met that I could pursue the Lord with together. So I just want to give myself, my marriage, my future family, everything about my life to Christ and the church. Amen. This is worth pouring our lives out on.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you happy that you found out that you are a vessel of God?
Amen.
Well, I guess my testimony is a bit different from all the other that went before me because, first of all, I'm European. My name is Pedro. I'm from Portugal. Portugal is a country just by Spain. The culture is very much Latin-based, so very similar to South America, Latin countries there. And the background, the religious background especially, is Catholic. So predominantly, most of the population is Catholic, and the culture, the society is very influenced by the practices that Catholicism has. I lived in the same town pretty much all my childhood. And my mom was Catholic, my father was not a believer, and my mom was very faithful. I saw her always praying, always turning to God in her struggles, and somehow her pattern caused me to see that God was real. And I somehow received the Lord since I was very, very young in my life. I cannot remember the exact time, but since then I've been having transactions with God. And I pray to God pretty much every day since I'm very young. But here I was in a Catholic country, where all my friends that were going to Catholic Church, they pretty much were the same as the ones that were not going. So actually their living was not shining something that I was longing for in my heart. I knew there was God out there. I knew there was something, but I just didn't see it. I tried, forced myself, go to Mass, all these events, but there was nothing clicking in. Eventually, when I turned 17, 18 years old, I decided that I needed to move out of my country. I had a very comfortable life, and I decided to study in the UK, more precisely in London. And I went there to do my undergraduate studies. That was quite a process. I didn't speak much English by then. But I got through. I got into a good university. And, you know, you're coming from Portugal, this warm country with marvelous food. Awesome weather, a great family, great friends, and you come to a country where it's raining all the time, the food is not so good, and people are generally more cold than in Portugal. So that was the first time in my life I experienced a real cultural shock. That was really a shock in my being where I had to adapt to such a different environment. And that started to create some kind of emptiness in my heart. And some kind of longing that I just needed to turn to someone while I was going through this process. Eventually, this longing went on, and I decided while I was in London to apply to a study abroad program. And somehow I just set in my mind that I wanted to come to California. I don't know why. I guess it's sunny. It's quite a nice place to be. Even though I could go to any place in the world, somehow my intuition just led me to go to California. So I went, I applied to the UC system, University of California. I got into Irvine. I didn't decide which university I could go to. They allocated me there. And so here I am on the massive campus and all these tables with clubs and what's going on here. I didn't have a clue what was going on, but I was with this German friend, this cool guy that has been in soap operas back in Germany, and he loves Hollywood and all these things, and he knew all about the college life in America. So he just told me, man, we gotta live the American life here. And he told me, have you heard about these things called fraternities? And I was like, I never heard about any fraternity whatsoever. So we went and tried one out, and eventually we went along, and I just felt that the living was so vain to the point that my heart was empty to the uttermost. This went on for 2-3 months, to the point where sometimes, like, no one could help me out. My family, my friends, there was just this hole in my heart that I could not fill. Trying to fill it with all kinds of things, but eventually everything drained away and I was empty all the time. So one prayer that I always had was that, Lord, I will not die until I read the Bible from beginning to end. And at that moment in my life, that prayer came back in my being. And I decided to grab a Bible. The first Bible I would find, I would grab it and I'll start reading it. So I got these little green Bibles, the Gideon Bibles. Started reading it, and I tell you, that was comfort. That was joy. I couldn't understand much, but there was something that was satisfying my being. And it was still a bit superficial, but that was a good remedy for the situation. Eventually I went on, and this went on for a month, I was reading the Bible. And one day I was sitting at Starbucks, and with my German friend, we were studying for an exam, and Starbucks is always packed on that campus, and we were in this big table. So there was these two little Asian girls searching for a table. And they couldn't find a spot, so they asked, can we sit with you? And we said, hey, sure, sit down. And we didn't really care. We kept studying. We had this exam to take care of. And eventually, my friend got really hungry. And he said, guys, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to get some food. And they just pulled out their bags. Hey, we have all these sandwiches here. We don't really like them, but you can have them. So because of that cherishing, we just started meeting them, and eventually we came to know that they were in this Bible school. I mean, they were in this program for 2 years. The first thing that came into my mind was that they were nuns, and they were in this convent, you know, like praying to God and all this. Anyways, that was where I was at. Anyway, and you know, they said, "Oh, we come to this campus. We just read the Bible with students. We just like to meet with students and enjoy the Lord together." I was like, "Really? I am reading the Bible, and I have so many questions. I cannot understand anything." So they said, "You do? Yes. We have all these Bible studies going on campus. You can come, and you know, all students are welcome from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of races. Just come and, you know, ask your questions." So I said, "That's it." I gave them my email. Then a brother contacted me back, and shepherding started there. Somehow these brothers that started contacting me and we started reading the Word, they felt that I knew a lot about the Bible. So they just started like sharing really high stuff with me. I didn't even know what calling on the Lord was, what the blood of Jesus was, but here I was hearing things that, anyways, I don't want to get into that. But, but you know, one thing that really captured me was that the Bible was always open in front of my eyes. And I was getting the Word of God, and that's what I wanted. And even if you realize in this conference, what you are getting is not philosophy, you are getting the pure Word of God.
Amen.
I would really like to encourage you, never take anything that is not the Word of God, because you will be disappointed. And even all the outlines, all the verse references you will see, everything is in the Word. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Anyways, the shepherding went on, and eventually I just had to realize that this God is not a faraway God. This God has such a longing in His heart. So He doesn't want to stay in the heavens. He wants to come into your heart.
Amen.
Make His home in your heart.
Amen.
Once I found this, wow, this is amazing. I can have God in my being.
Amen.
Not only so, but so this was the purpose of my life. But actually, I came to find out something further. God has a need. This wonderful Lord Jesus has also a need. You know, if you think, one thing that captured me was that this God has been traveling from eternity past. You know, He has a longing. And this God has a longing to, you know what the longing is? He wants to find a home. And He stepped down from the heavens, from eternity, came into time. He incarnated as a man. And now He was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to get into your heart.
Amen.
And this is His heart's desire. Once I started seeing this, tasting God, experiencing God, that was it. My life was turned upside down. I just dropped everything. I even started telling all my friends, you know, I found the meaning of my life. I found a person that lives inside of me, that loves me no matter if it's raining or if it's sunny, no matter anything. He loves me all the time. And I remember even one day calling my family. It was like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning back in Portugal. It was so crazy. I called my family. My sister comes to the phone really sleepy. "Oh, who's this?" "It's Pedro." I was like, "Pedro, can you call later? Seriously?" I was like, "No, I want my family on the phone right now." I got them all on the phone. I just started sharing to them that Jesus came into my being.
Amen.
This was a revolution that happened in my heart, and I was the happiest man on earth. This was so real to me that I just wanted to tell the whole world that Jesus wants to come into your heart and be living in an organic union with you. So anyways, I had to, eventually I had the California dream was over. I had to go back to Europe. And I got an internship back in Switzerland, so I went there for a year, and this was a really important step of my life, because here I was in this wonderful job with all these brilliant people from all over Europe, in the most beautiful place in Europe, and probably one of the most beautiful places in the world, you know, hours away from great places. Anyways, and I had this option: are you gonna go and live this wonderful life with your friends, or are you going to choose me? And the Lord spoke a very clear word, and I had to decide, what am I going to do? And you know, in the city where I was, Geneva, there were only 3 Chinese sisters that barely spoke any English. And I just didn't know what to do. But I decided to every week meet with them and have Bible studies with them. And, you know, that's when I really realized what the body of Christ was. The body of Christ is not temples made by man's hands. The body of Christ is not some kind of outward practice. The body of Christ is believers that are mingling their hearts with God, and they are pursuing God with and have God as the meaning of their human life.
Amen.
So eventually, the experience in Switzerland was over. I went back to the UK, finished my degree, and now I'm back in California. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And apparently, there is this really famous Bible school that these two sisters were, where these sisters were, and here I am right now, and I just gave these 2 years to for the Lord. Had a very strong calling to come. It was nothing like I didn't force myself, but the Lord just carries you through. If you are open to the Lord, He will carry you through this journey, and it's you don't have to make any effort to go through the narrow gate. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, sorry.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord!
Oh, I'm so thankful to be here with you all, actually. You'll have to excuse me. Unlike everyone else, I have some notes written down because the Lord has done so much in my life to gain this vessel. I was just considering the word again, and John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
You didn't choose God, but God chose you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm saints. I'm freshly just hearing all these testimonies. I'm in love.
Amen.
Not just with my fiance, but I'm in love with God.
Amen.
I'm in love with His purpose.
Amen.
This is a wonderful thing. And I hopefully my testimony can give you a flavor. Oh, sorry. My name is Chris. Chris Kim. born and raised in Southern California. And I hope that my testimony will give you a flavor of God's heart for man and man's thirst for God.
Amen.
Regardless of whatever man was doing, whatever man is doing, he has a thirst for God.
Amen.
And so I was born and raised in Southern California. And growing up, I had this particular mentality or philosophy. Whatever I do, I will be given to it. I'll give 100% to whatever I do. So when I was about 4 years old, I decided, after I watched a movie, a Bruce Lee movie, I would be the best fighter in the world. 4 years old. Okay. That was it. That was the meaning of my life. I would be the best fighter in the world. I don't care how small I was. I would kick you out. So this was I like the illustration of the Coca-Cola bottles. This was a big M&M in my bottle. Or maybe you could say a big dirt clod in my bottle. Whatever way you think of martial arts is. Growing up, I filled myself with so many things, actually. I pursued everything 100%. Regarding morals, regarding being a good person. I was a Cub Scout, Boy Scout, eventually attained Eagle Scout. You know, I did so many, you know, service projects, all these things. Being religious, I was raised in a Catholic family. I was an altar boy. I was a choir boy. I spoke for a religious course at the graduating class. Academics, you name it, you know, everything. Varsity teams, debate teams, went to the United Nations building, debated there. I did a lot of things. Not to say that it's, you know, oh, look at me. But there were a lot of M&Ms in me. And every time I went after something, the question was always, it's not enough. It's not enough. That was it. So what? There was a particular experience of mine when I had to speak for that religion course, the graduating class. We had a retreat, and they asked us to have about 2 to 3 hours of time, personal time with the Lord. And I remember climbing this really big boulder, because I like to rock climb. And I was sitting there, and I was just, well, Lord, I have to speak something to this graduating class. What should I say? And the Lord touched me, and He said, Chris, you don't know me. It wasn't a rebuking word. It was a real loving, tender word. You don't know me, and I want you to know me. And I was just like, wow, so what do I do? I think God just talked to me. So I did anything that, you know, a 16-year-old would do. I have a Bible. I'll start reading the Bible. So I began reading the Bible, reading, and then I had no idea what I was reading. I had so many questions, and I'd ask all of these people, you know, spiritual leaders, and none of them could provide answers, because all of them would say, you know, God loves you, you know, and oh, that's great. Amen. God loves you. Be a good person. Well, I was a Boy Scout. I know how to be a good person. The Bible, is that it? Why not just be a Boy Scout? Right? Sorry for all the sisters. A Girl Scout, right? Well, fast forward, I had been kind of going to different denominations, trying to see what was the truth regarding God and regarding man. Because I thought the Bible was kind of important, right? Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Amen. And so I thought, there is something in the Bible that tells me something about God and what He wants in man, right? But I had no idea what it was. So fast forward, high school, I was a senior, graduating, I had all these achievements. The summer before college, and I had already known I'd be going to UCLA. And in that time, I was in a relationship with a girl. And the Lord, praise the Lord, He used that girl to do something that no man could do. This tough, thick-skinned martial arts fighter. No one can break through my defense. But this girl could. Because on the day, you know, on the day of my birth, it's in the summer, she decided to break up with me. And as any 18-year-old, you know, high school, right, that's a pretty devastating blow. So what happened was that night, the Lord used that, I believe, by His mercy. All night, I didn't sleep, but I walked with God. I took a walk with God. And I had four questions. Eventually, I had four questions to the Lord. Lord, what is the meaning of my life? And second, Lord, why do You exist and why do I exist? Third, God, what do You want with me? All these things that happened to me, what do You want with me? And finally, the fourth one was, God, what do You want? What do You want? I've heard about You, you know, I would have some kind of prayer time with You, but what do You want with You? What is on Your heart? I didn't know. Thankfully, throughout the course of my college years, the Lord had answered all of these questions. He didn't answer them all at once, but bit by bit, He took care and answered each of them. So summer before going to college at UCLA, my older sister had been meeting with some believers at UCLA. And she knew I was searching. She said, well, hey, do you want to meet with some believers that I met with when I was in college? I was like, sure, I'm looking. I don't know what it is, but I want something. And so I met Stephen Yao, Joe Perriott, and Nikayo Yang. And the first thing they told me was about God's economy, right off the bat. Do you know God's economy? And I was like, economy? That's in the Bible? Doesn't that have to do with money? And then they were like, no, God's economy is His plan to dispense Himself into man, to get into you so that He can be expressed through you. Wow, I was like, woo, I've never heard this before. I didn't quite get everything, but I knew whatever they shared with me opened up the Word, and it was based on the pure Word of God. So I appreciated that. So my first year, September 2002, I went to the first meeting, gathering of all believers there, and I was blown away. I walk into that meeting, and what I saw was just shining. They were singing, they were enjoying the Lord, and as we were singing, Christ, our content and reality, to shine out from us unceasingly. And I have to confess, it was like a 1 Corinthians 14:25. I was there. God is among you. God is among you. Not only that, this is God's home. It was a clear word to me, Chris, this is my home. With these people, this is my home. And then the response within my being, I was moved to tears. Father, I'm home. I found home. Thank You, Lord. Right? Fast forward, sophomore year. I began, you know, my first year I had a lot of personal Bible studies. Sophomore year, I even moved in with some of these crazy lovers of the Lord. And what happened was, getting to know them, one of them, his name was Tony, all of a sudden he was on fire for the Lord. He was just crazy loving the Lord. And I knew him, we hung out together, and I was like, how is he so crazy for the Lord? We do the same things, but he sees something I don't see. Now you have to understand, during this time, I was still pursuing martial arts, actually to a very extreme degree. 3 to 4 hours a day training. I began training with fighters from other countries. I was at an international level fighter. And I was still kind of like, well, Lord, you know, I love you, but I really love fighting people. I mean, it feels good. Anyway, it feels good when you knock someone out. I'm going to be honest with you. But I realized, with that testimony, that brother, he said he went to this thing called a summer college training. 1 week where you have all these believers getting together that are in the college age. And it's a week of pure awesomeness. All you do is enjoy the Lord. All you do is have your vision expand regarding what the Lord is doing on the earth today. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'll challenge you. I'll give up martial arts for 1 week. You prove me wrong. Prove me you're better than this. And let me tell you, in all my years of fighting and sparring matches, everything, I never lost a fight, actually. But thank the Lord, I lost this one. Amen. The Lord blew martial arts out of the water. And I was captured for the Lord. Amen. I was like, this is the greatest thing. I realized Christ is the meaning of my human life. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And not only that, I realized, well, Christ is the meaning of my human life. But what does God want still? So junior year, a group of us went down to Mexico to help build a meeting hall there. And during that time, there was a brother who offended me in an unnecessary kind of way. Being a fighter, being offended is not the... I wouldn't say I'm a very good Christian. You know, if you try to hit me, I may hit you back. You know, I enjoy the Lord. I love eating Jesus, drinking Jesus. I'm not that good yet, okay? I need more transformation, right? But during that time, I was so consumed with everything. Just, this guy, he just did this. But the Lord gave me this. Hymn 1248. It's "Recall How David Swore." But stanza 2 really touched me. "How blinded we have been, shut in with what concerns us, while God's house lieth waste. Lord, break through, overturn us. We'll go up to the mountain, bring wood and build a house. We'll never say another day. It's time, we'll come and build." Amen. And at that point I realized, Lord, you have a higher purpose. It's not just I would be happy, you know, enjoying the Lord merely, but this would eventually lead to His body, His church, right? Building God's house. Anyways, I just that kind of ends it for me here. I just praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. That we can all be here really getting into what God is doing on the earth today and really seeing that man is seeking something. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, what can we say but praise the Lord? Let's say that a couple more times. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, I took some notes. I just really appreciate, you know, from their testifying that man really has a seeking for something. And we have seen that the meaning of the human life is Christ. Amen. Actually, according to Haggai, it says He is the desire of the nations. You know, man could be seeking for so many things. Martial arts, I don't know what... You know, different things, rangers, you know, a career, but actually what they're seeking for is Christ. Amen. Only Christ could fill up that bottle. And I really appreciate, you know, their testimonies. For example, Jesse. Sorry, I forgot his name. Jesse found some dear Christian on a college campus. Aren't we all on a college campus? Praise the Lord! Amen. Jordan found the Lord through a friend, through a colleague, through a co-worker. I hope that many of you guys have friends or you're working with someone. You know, Pedro found the Lord through the coffee shop. You know, just some random place that you might go hang out. So many different places, so many different venues, so many different ways that the Lord could use you to contact others for His purpose, right? You know, each person that's put within your class, your seatmate, you know, tomorrow, well, not tomorrow, Monday, you know, the seatmate Monday, you know, he's put there because the Lord has a purpose for him. The Lord desired that he would be the meaning of his life.
Amen.
Isn't that so true? Well, we'd just like to end this time maybe through some prayers. You know, many of us, we're here to really see the high gospel. We have seen that man is a meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of our human life. But tonight we'll hear more how the church is an expression of Christ. What God desires is a church. So the Lord on one hand is fulfilling our needs, but we want to be here to fulfill the Lord's need.
Amen.
So maybe we could pray in this way. First, let's just pray to give ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And second, if you have a friend, a coworker, or just someone that's dear on your heart, maybe with your neighbor, you could just pray for that person.
Amen.
Pray maybe this year or in his lifetime, he will find the Lord.
Amen.
He will be one who will give his life for him.
Amen.
So we'll just take this couple minutes, just pray with your neighbor.